Irvine, Washington, Tuesday, January 20th, 2009. Hello and happy Inauguration Day from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, President Barack Obama. The former junior senator from Illinois is now the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after noon Eastern time here on Tuesday, Barack Obama repeated the oath administered by Chief Justice John Roberts.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
That I will execute.
The office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability. Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Our friend Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, was down on the Mall for today's historic inauguration of President Obama. He will join us in just a moment to offer his reflections on this massive crowd-gathering event, the speech Obama delivered following his inauguration, and what today's celebration tells us about the strength and ingenuity of America's founders. Also in this edition, more insights and a look ahead towards the first days of the Obama administration with the help of Michael Lewin, former chief of staff to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. How will Obama try to set a new tone, and which policies can we expect him to roll out right away? Plus, two steps backwards for the pro-life movement. Matt Staver of Liberty Council joins us to explain how two strokes of the pen from the new president could reverse two very important pro-life policies established by former President George W. Bush. And hearing from the new president will bring you extended excerpts from Barack Obama's inauguration speech earlier today. All that plus more details and sound bites from today's historic inauguration in Washington. But we begin with my extended conversation with Professor Larry Sabato, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Dr. Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, where he is also director of UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, now available in paperback, is A More Perfect Constitution, and it's the Constitution, of course, that called for the peaceful transfer of power today from George W. Bush to Barack Obama, who is now officially our 44th president of the United States. And Larry, I know you were there in person. First of all, thanks very much for your time today.
Happy to do it, Greg.
How many inaugurations in person is this for you, and what struck you that was unique about this one?
I've been to seven of them since the 1970s. I haven't hit them all. I certainly tend to stay away when it gets to be, about 10 degrees. This was close to my limit, but I was able to make it. People kept one another warm, and I've been indoors a bit here and there doing various media commentary duties. But, the crowd was enormous. I have no idea what the estimate was. I know it was larger than any of them I've ever been to. I could tell that instantly. Also, it struck me, at least in the areas that I have seen personally, probably 60% or more of the crowd is African American. There is just enormous excitement in the African American community about having the first African-American president. By the way, I saw this once before when Virginia elected Doug Wilder as the very first black governor in American history, first elected black governor in American history. His inauguration had an enormous turnout, and well over half of the turnout was African-American. And I felt the very same excitement that a barrier had been broken.
Well, what did they say to you if you had a chance to talk with any of the folks that were there? What did it mean to them personally?
It's so emotional to them that they have a hard time, some of them, expressing it, because many of them, particularly the older folks, personally experienced discrimination. One woman was reminding me of what I saw growing up in Virginia in the 1950s, the separate facilities, restroom facilities, and even drinking fountains. Whites, colors on the other side. You couldn't drink out of the same fountain. You couldn't use the same restrooms. You couldn't use the same hotels. It's really hard for young people to believe this, that it once existed, and it was nearly absolute. So this is emotional for whites, but I think for many African Americans in particular, because they, as Obama put it, they felt the lash of discrimination.
And Larry, of course, the speech is the hallmark of the inauguration ceremony. Not too long, lasted, I believe, about 17 or 18 minutes, and several different themes struck. As usual, Obama using soaring rhetoric to describe the greatness of America and the type of America he envisions over the next four, or in his hopes, 8 years. What struck you? Was there any line from that speech or theme from that speech that will resonate not only in tomorrow's headlines, but down the road?
This is going to be interesting because there are actually, I'd say five or six possibilities, you know, from a noble idea to his discussion about responsibility of the older generation for the younger. There are several pieces of the speech, I would say literally half dozen, that might be selected. I wouldn't be surprised to see different news organizations pick different parts of the speech. Now, I don't know what that means for the long run. Now, here's what's interesting. A lot of newspapers missed John F. Kennedy's great phrase about ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. They picked up other pieces of the speech the next day. So you never know how the speech is going to play in the long run. But let's be honest. The people I talked to, the people you've talked to today, they would have been happy if Barack Obama read the telephone directory. That really doesn't matter much what the substance was, and that comes later. It's a moment to celebrate, I think, for all Americans, because we've made a lot of progress on race and in other ways, and it's reflected in this inauguration. How Obama governs, no one knows. You know, he's been in office for a few hours.
Exactly. Did you think he tipped his hand at all in his speech about his philosophy and the style of governing that we can expect?
Remember in the campaign, of course, campaigns exaggerate differences, and the candidates always try to make you think that Western civilization will end if the other guy's elected. And Obama was called a socialist and so on. Well, if you listen to the speech, and if you've watched it during the transition, this is a guy who is an amalgam of liberal and conservative and Democrat and Republican. He's, of course, a Democrat. He is more liberal than certainly most most Republicans, probably most independents, does he say that he's for big government? No. Is he for small government? No. He's for government that works. Well, we'll all find out together what that means in the midst of this economic disaster and meltdown. But I found his approach to be reasonable. The rhetoric soared at times, at other times it didn't. Sometimes it was the commentary in his speech was timely, geared to the crisis of the day, and other points in the speech were timeless. You can read them in 30 or 50 years and still get the meaning, even if the circumstances of America have changed dramatically.
Larry, in terms of how he treated the former president, it's almost customary for each new president to thank the previous president for their service. Obama went even further and thanked him for an especially smooth transition. In terms of the body of the speech, he seemed to take a couple of minor shots at the Bush administration, especially with respect to liberties and security and that sort of thing. What struck you on that front, if anything?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. He was gracious in the beginning, and he cited Bush for graciousness during the transition. On the other hand, this was a major change of party and ideology. In the crowd, I can tell you, there was very little pro-Bush sentiment. There were lots of murmurings. Now, they weren't rude. I wondered whether people would be rude, which I think is wrong, to the now former president. They weren't rude, but I'd say that the enthusiasm was restrained. For that first message from Obama to Bush, that was very different than in 1977 when, you may remember, Jimmy Carter, in the very first paragraph of his inaugural, turned to President Ford and thanked him for his service to the country, almost in the very same words Obama used, and the transition. And Ford got an enormous ovation from the crowd. Because back then, presidents were somewhat less ideological. They were gathered more around the center than we often find presidents today.
Larry, obviously there are strong partisans on both sides, even though both sides come together pretty well on Inauguration Day. And so once the details of new policies are fleshed out and so forth, the debates will obviously resume. How long do you expect either the media honeymoon or the national honeymoon for Barack Obama to last?
The national honeymoon will last longer than the media honeymoon. And I know there are a lot of people out there who don't believe this because the media clearly gave Obama a pretty good ride in the campaign, and I think anybody who's fair admits that. The press was very pro-Obama. I think overwhelmingly they voted for him, and they've been very kind to him. Now, you know as well as I do, a lot of members of the press corps, and by nature, they are quarrelsome. It will not take long for the love affair to end. There is never, and I mean never, a good marriage between the press and a president. Never. And usually it's a brief affair. This one will be somewhat longer. And I doubt that at one point in time, or two or three during the Obama administration, there'll even be a friendship between the president and the president. That is the way the system works.
Larry, let's wrap up the conversation with where it started, and that's a reference to the Constitution. Your most recent book suggests some minor adjustments to the Constitution, but I think sometimes in this country we take it for granted, especially since that we're used to it, that the most powerful nation in the world has such a smooth and peaceful transition of power. What does it say about the enduring strength of our Constitution?
It's inspiring, and it tells you that the Constitution was not just timely, it was timeless, as we want every inaugural address to be. It can be adjusted to fit the needs of the country, whatever the crisis at hand, whatever the circumstances at hand. So it's just always, to me, a wonderful moment. I love coming to inaugurations, especially when there's a change of party, because you see how it works here. We don't have troops in the streets except to preserve security. We don't have coup d'etats. We have voting, and we can change presidents and change administrations in a dramatic fashion, and the whole system moves smoothly, and we saw a very smooth transition today.
Larry, a fascinating piece of history that you were fortunate to watch in person. Thanks very much for your time today.
Enjoy it, Greg. Great day for America.
Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He directs UVA's Center for Politics. His most recent book, now available in paperback, is entitled A More Perfect Constitution. This is Dateline Washington.